John chapter 2. It is good to be here tonight. Thank God for Sunday night church.
Amen.
This is our night. Amen. Sunday morning, I don't know, you kind of amateurs can get involved Sunday morning, but this is our night. Sunday night church. Amen. Well, I've enjoyed it, the singing, always above and beyond. Whenever you get a place where the Lord moves, man, don't ever second that, man. That's a blessing. Amen. Amen. There's churches that ain't never had a service like we've already had. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, and we'll start reading a very familiar portion of the Bible. Look at verse number 15. Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. It's really getting easier to do that. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of this old world. Amen. I'm sick of it. I can't watch the news anymore. Amen. I mean, if you're going to watch a movie or something, you got to watch something made 50 years ago. Amen. I'm sick of it. Amen. And it says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Amen. And listen, I know the devil's real, and I preach about him, but these things here, it's of the world. Amen. I don't know. Some of y'all, the devil, don't even know your name. Amen. You ain't done enough to even upset him. But the world will get you. Amen. The Bible says in verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But here's what I want to preach about. It's just, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Man, what a promise. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the book. God, I pray tonight as we open it, we're totally dependent upon thee. God, please speak to our hearts, and especially the heart of the young people here tonight. God, do a work in this church. And Brother Edward told about his heart's desire for some things for this year. God, may this revival be like a catalyst for that, Lord. Do a work in each heart, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight about he that doeth the will of God. And this morning, I couldn't help it. I was going to say something this morning, but I really couldn't do it. But Brother Edward was talking about his daddy. And Brother Donnie was something else. I tell you, I miss him. And he was talking about him hearing the news there of dying. And I tell you what, it tore my heart out. Amen, because I miss him. Amen. And he will ever be remembered because he did the will of God. Amen. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. There ain't nothing more, amen, greater to do as a person, a child of God, than God's will. Amen. I mean, that's how God moves. Amen. He uses people. And God's will, do you understand how important that is? Since I got saved and started preaching, I am an advocate for the will of God. If you're not in His will, amen, you'll falter. Amen. Your life will be a mess. Amen. You'll ruin everything around you. I've seen them ruin their homes. See them ruin their lives, their health. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It's the greatest life there is. Amen. You say, well, it's a corny life. Yeah, it is, but it's the greatest. So that's where all the nerds are. Sure, look around in here. Amen. I got into the nerd category when I got saved. Amen. I look like a cop now. Amen. But I'm telling you, the will of God is the best life there is. Amen. And Brother Donnie was a man's man. Amen. And we watched the fights together. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm around some of these little pipsqueaks now. They don't even know what a fight is. Huh? Every man in here ought to like a good fight. At least one time in your life. And every lady in here ought to like to see a good fight. Amen. I thank God I married a spitfire of a gal. Amen. And the reason that I fell in love with her, can I tell y'all, y'all ain't no big hurry, are you? I met her in high school, and amen, my eyes were on her, but one day somebody said, hey, Dee Harrison's getting into a fight after school. She's fighting Sally Ousley. I went, what? I said, I got to be there for that. And after school, they sure enough, they fought in front of Rosie's Cafe right next to high school. And buddy, a bunch of us went over there. We was wanting to see that.
Oh, yeah.
And we got over there, and there was Sally Ousley with her entourage. Then I looked over there, and here comes Dee. And she's got her friends with her. She got her little group with her. Here they come. And, man, I'm telling you, I'm sitting on pins and needles. Amen. And here they met. Amen. And the whole crowd spread out, made the squared circle. Amen. Of mano a mano. Amen. Say, what happened? Dee beat the snot out of Sally Ousley. Huh? And I watched that and I went, I love her. I've got to have her. Amen. And I'm telling you, this life is a fight. And he that doeth the will of God, there's something special about them. Amen. They're unique. Hey, they've left the cares of this old world and all that mess, and they said, I want to do what God wants me to do. Buddy, there's a life worth living. Amen. It'll change you. It'll change where you go. I never dreamed I'd ever be in the Philippines and South Africa and Germany and the West Indies and California. Amen. New York. All over. Amen. And I'm telling you, the will of God is something else. And you kids that are here, there's nothing greater than to give yourself over to the will of God. Amen. Did you ever, you met Brother Brownie Rogers? You remember him? Romans chapter 12, when the Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Brother Brownie said this, and I believe him. He said, folks, he said, that's not a process. He said, that's an event. Amen. Anybody here, Brother Gary, anybody here that's ever surrendered their life to the will of God and has a call of God on their life, they're somewhere they did. They said, God, here I am. You take me, use me, Lord. I am yours. There's an event that takes place, and that event changes you. Amen. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I got a bunch of illustrations tonight. I don't even know if I get to my outline. Amen. Is that all right? But I got a friend of mine out in California. Y'all know there's saved people in Los Angeles, California? Yeah. There he is. And I went out there and preached for a good friend of mine, Brother Dave Gilbert, Miss Harron, remember Dave. He was my buddy. Amen. And I was there preaching a youth rally. And there was a big old guy there that came. And he was a power lifter. He could bench press over 600 pounds. Amen, old Stan Martin. And Stan had a glass eye. They said he'd get in them competitions, and he'd get in there underneath, you know, 650 pounds, and he's bench pressing, and one day he's doing that, and that eye went. He said the judge that was standing there went like this. He went. Them other guys standing around goes, cool. Can you do that anytime you want? Amen. But old Brother Stan, he was a monster. And during that youth rally, he's probably, I don't know, 27, 28 years old. Here he came to the altar. But he hit the altar and started crying and weeping and sobbing and, amen, snot going everywhere. And his pastor motioned for me. And I went down there and I put my arm around him. I said, what's going on, big boy? And he looked over at me, man, with them tears in his eyes and snot running down his nose. And he said, Brother Mark, I want to live for God. I give my life to Him tonight. And I said, well, He'll take it, boy. He'll take it. Sure enough, old Brother Stan, God took him. Amen. He used him. Amen. They used him. He became the youth leader there in the church and had a bunch of kids. Man, done good. Then surrendered to preach. Amen. Then, we ordained him. I flew to California, laid our hands on him, ordained him. Then a church out in Montana called him to be their pastor. And old Brother Stan, he was something else. He was living in the will of God. And he got, I forget what you call it now. I'm flipping my mind. But he got this disease that got him. And for 2 weeks, he was gone. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And what he did for God, amen. I mean, we'll remember him. I'll talk about him at least till the day I die. Amen. And he had me come preach his funeral, and I know why, because the rest of the guys were dry as cracker juice. He wanted somebody there that would shout a little bit. Amen. And they showed a film on the big screen, and they showed him Brother Edward. Boy, tore my heart out. Showed him with his little girl, and he had her feet on his feet, and he was walking a little video there. And I heard that little girl sobbing. Boy, tore my heart out. Amen. He said, it's hard to lose somebody. I'll tell you what it's harder to do is lose somebody that's not in God's will. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. If I mention the name, Sister Harlan would know this brother. And me and him went to Bible school together. Brother Doug's here. Me and his daddy went to Bible school together. We graduated from PBI in 1986. Amen. We're PBIites. Amen. The Jebusites, the Perizzites, and the Ruckmanites. Amen. Amen. But I went down to my cousin's church, I guess 4 or 5 years ago now, and Brother Ron Sutek was there. Brother Ron, I was talking to him, and he said, did you hear about, and he named the guy we went to school with. And I said, no. He said, he's got cancer. I said, he's dying of cancer. I said, no, I didn't hear that. And Brother Ron looked at me, and he got tears in his eyes, and he goes, it's worse than that, Brother Mark. I said, how could it be worse than that? He said, he's out of God's will. Said, he's bitter. Said, he got out. And he's mad at everybody. Said, he won't let anybody come around. And I said, well, I'll go see him. He said, well, they won't let you. I said, they can't stop me. Amen. I mean, what are you going to do? I'm 300 and none of your business. Amen. And know how to handle myself. So I found out, I called around, and some of his kids, they didn't want me to go. I said, well, I'm going to see him anyhow. And it was pitiful. He was living upstairs over a little garage. And I knocked on the door, and his wife came to the door and seen me. I hadn't seen her in a long while, and she started crying. And I said, I'm so sorry. And I said, where is he? And she looked at me, Brother Edward, and she says, brace yourself. I said, he's in there in the room. So I walked back here in the room, and there he laid, and he had cancer, and he had it had spread through his brain, his face, his eye was all whited over. He couldn't see out of it. It was running. This arm was all swelled up big like that. And I come in, and I said, hey, buddy. He looked over at me with that one eye and started crying. I said, they tell me it's bad. He said, it's bad. I said, I only got a few days to live. And I went to hug him, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, be careful, I'm frail. Well, I'm telling you. I went down and hugged him. I talked to him. I called Dave Gilbert on the phone, and I said, here, let me have somebody talk. I called some other folks. I ain't getting ready to leave out of here. And I looked at him, and everything kind of quieted down a little bit, and I looked at him. I said, brother, I said, they tell me you ain't going to make it. I mean, you got days. I said, I asked the question. I said, what's the Lord doing? Amen. And I'll never forget what he said to me. He looked over at me with that one eye, and he said, he ain't been by. And I'll tell you what, folks, I had chills go up my back. Now, he's saved. Amen. But he's so bitter and so out of God's will that God wasn't even around. Amen. Now, let me ask y'all something. Which way do you want to go out of this world? Do you want to die and go out of this world in God's will? Or be out of God's will? Amen. I've seen people get out of the will of God for stupid things. Amen. I've known of preachers that have gotten people out of the will of God. I know the churches and ministries and, amen, don't get out of His will. Stay in His will. Keep your heart tender. Man, do something for God in these last days. There ain't nothing like it. There's no life like this. My dad was like Brother Edwards' daddy. They was a different mold. Them men were different. My dad was a professional prize fighter when he was a young man. He was a light heavyweight. He had 30 pro fights, only lost one. And my dad, he was 84 when he died. We didn't mess with him when he died. We were scared to talk about him after he died. Amen. I remember one time one of my brother's friends was over, and he's in the yard. My dad comes walking through, and he's got a bucket. He's always working around the house. You know, wore them old coveralls, always dirty. And my dad's walked across there, and that guy, he's a big old fella. He goes, "Come on, Mr. McGahee, show me some of them boxing moves." My dad goes like, and he drops the bucket and goes, boom! Knocks him, he's laying on the ground. And my brother goes, "There's one." But I'm going to tell you a sad story. My dad, when I was about 3 or 4 years old, got out of the will of God. My cousin Jim McGahee, he was in the first graduating class at PBI. And my dad was going to go with him when he went to Bible school. And he didn't do it. And out of my dad's own testimony, he said, "I counted the cost." He had a good job, retirement, and he didn't do it. And within a year, he was out of church. And I watched my dad out of God's will. I grew up in a home that where I didn't know anything about church, know anything. I was into drugs. I was smoking when I was 9, 10 years old. I was selling drugs at 13, 14 years old. And I watched my dad. My dad was one of the meanest men I've ever seen in my life. I said, "What do you mean?" He was out of God's will. My mom says, "You make your daddy sound like he was a tyrant." I said, "Mom, he was." Amen. I mean, I watched him. Me and my brother, one day somebody knocked on our door, front door. And it was a preacher from the little Methodist church. We live in a little small town. And he came there to visit my dad. And my dad got up out of the chair and he opened the door and he goes, "What do you want, fella?" He said, "Well, I'm Reverend so-and-so and I've just come by to see you here today." My dad pulled his hand, grabbed his hand and started squeezing. He said, "My name's Herb McGahee." He said, "I work with my hands all day." And he had the guy on his knees. And me and my brother was watching from a distance. And I remember my mama crying saying, "Let him go, Junior, let him go." And I'll never forget, Miss Dodd, the look on his face when he let that preacher's hand go and he turned around. And me and my brother, we went and hid. Say, what was that? That was somebody out of God's will. Let me ask you something. You think you're going to be any different? You get out of church, you get out of sorts. You think you'll be any different? My dad, thank God, and Miss Harrigan, remember when amen, they was in Florida. My dad started going to church. Dr. Ruckman preached the hell out of him. Amen. And he got right with God. And I came there. If he hadn't went there, I'd have never got to church. I don't know if I'd ever got saved. And my dad, I seen my dad. Amen. His heart turned. My dad got back in. Amen. And I remember when God called me to preach, I was in my first year of Bible school. And we went to see my brother and them, and my dad, mom, my brother, his family, my oldest brother was there. And we went to Zahn's Corner Christian Church, little church in the country. And that preacher that was there, he said, "I hear you're in Bible school." And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Will you preach for us this morning?" Man, I said, "Yeah." And I had my family there. Man, you talk about nerve-wracking. Amen. My brothers, they'd never heard me preach or nothing like that. And I got on the altar before church started. I'm over praying, "Oh, God, help me." Amen. And I felt somebody come up next to me and put their arm around me. And it was my daddy. And I had never prayed with my dad before my whole life. And he pulled me up next to me, put his cheek in mine, and I felt his tears on my face. And I heard my dad pray, and he said this. He said, "Lord, this is my boy." He said, "Do for him what you were going to do for me." Amen. And I got in the church. Mom and Dad got in a little church. They moved to Kentucky, and I preached revival there. That was something else. A little Southern Baptist church. They hadn't had anybody walk the aisle in that church in 13 years. We had revival. The first service, we had 7 people walk the aisle and get saved. We had 13 folks walk the aisle. And one night, there was a young couple. They both got married, and here they came. And they came down the front, and I said, "What'd you come for?" And they said, "We need to get saved." They was crying. And I looked down at my dad, and I pointed to Dad. I said, "Come on, Dad." He looked at me, and he goes, "Me?" I said, "Yeah." And he took his Bible, and he knelt down with them kids and led them to Christ. And I'll tell you what, folks, I'll never forget that. Amen. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Do you know how many people that I've seen in the ministry that I've been involved in now that's gotten out of God's will? Literally thousands. The young people. Amen. These kids can tell you. I still call Ashley and them kids. Amen. But you think about your age group, how many are still in? Amen. Do you know what a rare chance you youngins have right now to give your life over to the will of God? Amen. He that doeth the will of God. Let me say here, number one, and I'll be real quick. But he that, amen, does the will of God, number one, he believes God. Amen. Hebrews says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. You got to believe he is. He's God Almighty. He is the Lord of glory. Hey, he's King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the best. To give your life to him, what could be better said about you? Amen. What higher office could there be? Hey, I'm serving the King. I'm serving God Almighty. I'm in his will. There ain't nothing like it. Amen. And let me tell you something. You'll never serve a God that you don't know anything about. Amen. You'll never get in his will if you don't know anything about him. Amen. I like that song. That song they sing, "Who is this King of glory?" Amen. I'm glad I know him. I don't know a whole lot, but I know him. Hey, he saved me and rescued me. Me and my wife, we was a mess. We came there to Bible school, and or Bible Baptist first, got saved, then God called me to preach. But I remember right after I got saved, Dr. Upman came over to me, Doug, and I got my hair cut in stages. And I was in about the second stage there, and he walked over to me, and he says, "Hey, there, Brother Mark." He said, "How about you and your wife going to camp with us?" And I said, "What's that?" I had no idea. He said, "How about being counselors at the youth camp?" I said, "If somebody will tell me how to do it." So they did, and Brother Stan Reed, he walked over to me afterwards, and he said, "I hear the preacher wants you to go to camp with us." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, Brother Mark, you'll have to get your hair cut." And I said, "Okay. Be like the rest of you squares. I can do that." And I remember we went to Pot of Gold Ranch in Comfort, Texas. And we got there, and the first night, one of the boys smarted off, or I had him on the ground like that, getting ready to hit him. And Sam Reed says, "No, Mark, no." And I go, "What am I here for then? I thought this is what I was here for." Amen. Well, I thought that's why I came. I'm the enforcer or something. But you know what? You know what that old man wanted to do? He wanted us to get around where the glory of God was. He wanted us to get around where God moved. Amen. You know where you're sitting in here tonight, young lady, young man? You're sitting in a place where God moves. Amen. Do you believe him tonight? Do you believe who he is? Amen. To know him and, man, give your life to him? There ain't nothing like it. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There's men in my life that are mentors in my life. One of them, his name was Dan Gilbert. And Dan Gilbert was something else. When I got saved, he was more happy I got saved. My own family was. And he was something else. Him and his wife. His wife's name was Sam. And they were something else. And he walked up to me and he said, "I am so glad, amen, that you got saved, boy." And he told me, he says, "I hear that you owe your daddy some money for bailing you out of jail." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, well, how much do you owe him, son? He said, I owe him $700. And he reached in his pocket, counted out some money, and he stuck it in my pocket. And I said, no, sir, I can't take that. And he goes, son, this is not a loan. He said, this is a gift from me to you. And he grabbed me and hugged me and kissed me on the cheek. He says, I love you, boy. And he walked away, and I stuck my hand in my pocket, and I pulled out seven $100 bills. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. In 1982, I did not know people had done such things. Amen. And now, when God called me to preach, he sent me a card from California that had a guy pulling a mule. And the card says, look who God called to preach. Amen. Oh, man. But Brother Dan, he was something else. I called him at least once a month, wasn't it every couple of weeks, and he died. His family asked me to preach his funeral. And when I preached his funeral, I preached out of this text, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. He was the oldest man to ever go through PBI at that time. And he left Pensacola Bible Institute and went to Los Angeles, California, and started a church in a suburb there in L.A. called Tujunga. And that church is still going. Try that on for size. We don't see nobody even start churches nowadays, let alone in Los Angeles. Amen. But you know what? We got there, and Brother Alan Ryman and a bunch of us was there, and we got to carry his casket. And he was... I found out a year before he died that he was Silver Star recipient at Normandy. He was airborne. He was those guys, you see that Band of Brothers show? He was one of them. And he fought at the Battle of the Bulge, Normandy. He told me, he said, when we landed at Normandy, Brother Mark, said we parachuted in there at night. He said nobody could find each other, so they gave us a clicker. He said every time they hit that clicker, he said a German shot at me, so I threw mine away. He said he kicked a door open, boom, over there. And he kicked the door open, a German soldier went, boom. And he said, he knocked me down. And he said, I got up and was running down the road, and I felt something dripping off my fingertips. And he had shot me up the arm, so I didn't even know it. And I've sat with him, Brother Gary, in church, and have his arm like you got your arm up right there. And he had a short-sleeve shirt on. We was in Georgia, and I seen them scars. And I reached up there and hugged that arm, kissed them scars. I said, thank you, brother. Amen. And we got to carry his casket and got to preach his funeral. And we got over there, and the color guard was there from the army. And I walked over to this guy, and he had a bagpipes. And I walked over, I said, do you know who you're playing for here today? And he said, no, I just know he's a veteran. I said, he's Silver Star, Normandy. Amen. Screaming Eagles. And a tear went down his face. He said, I had no idea. And, buddy, I'm telling you, we got that casket. He started playing Amazing Grace on the bagpipes. And I had to keep my mouth shut so my soul wouldn't jump out of my body. Amen. And I'll never forget that officer kneeling down there with that flag and kneeled down there in front of his wife and presented that flag to her. He said, behalf of the United States of America, we present you this flag. Thank you for your husband's service. And I sat there and through my mind, I was going, you have no idea. He served his country, but man, for the last 60-something years, he served God, the will of God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Amen. I'll tell you what else. If you're one of them that do the will of God, the Bible is your book. Amen. That book has earned us. We are the people of a book. Amen. We're not just Bible believers, man. The Bible changed us. It's not just a study book. Man, this is alive. It's changed our lives. It changed the way we look. Changed the way we talk. Hey, we'd have never got in His will without the book. Amen. Bible is your book. Brother Danny Hall used to tell Miss Dee Dee, he said, bring my Bible book. Amen. And let me ask you something. Does this book mean anything to you? Have you gotten to the place where you don't read it much anymore? Huh? Amen. We'll tell you, it'd be hard for you to follow the will of God without the Bible. Amen. Boy, thank God for the book. I'm like Brother Edward. I'm sitting over there by Darnell, and he's helping Brother Edward quote the end of all these verses and all that. Amen. I didn't think he was that bright. Amen. He's got it. I just like to be around somebody like that. Amen. It ain't our preaching ability. It ain't how well we can preach or how well we can speak or how much knowledge you have of the Bible. No, this book is alive. Amen. This book, the Bible, is your book. I'll tell you what else. He that doeth the will of God, he becomes a doer. The Bible says, he that doeth the will of God, do it. Amen. Brother Gary, you starting your class back up, I guess because of COVID and everything's happened. Amen. It's high time. Amen. Just do it. Just do it. I pulled up. I don't know the reason. Probably COVID, just like our church. We got four vans. Only one of them's running now. Amen. But I pulled up, and I'll be honest with you, it broke my heart when I seen all the dust and everything over the vans and the bus out there. It broke my heart. Amen. I'm not scolding you. I'm not rebuking you. I know COVID and all that. But they're sitting there. Amen. There's kids dying and going to hell all around here. They're blowing their brains out on crack cocaine and fentanyl and everything else. They need God. There ain't no other place around here doing it. Amen, man. Get in. Find somebody. Bring them to church. He told me the other day, one of the first revivals ever preached at Brother Alan Ryman's. He was folks, soul winning. Man, just, he's talking about a soul winner. And we got there, we had 36 people saved in 1 week. How do you get over something like that? Amen. You said, well, what is that? Great preaching? No. They went and got lost people in. Amen. We were in the Philippines a few years ago and had camp there. And these are all Bible-believing churches in the Philippines. And they bring their kids. And I'll be honest with you, some of them are dry as cracker juice. There, man, I'm telling you, no shouting, no nothing. We got them kids in there. And if the parents and the church doesn't shout and worship God, the kids are like this. And man, we... Amen. Wonder why. Well, I wish my son would, you know, make a move toward God. Well, how about you? Amen. Is he ever going to see mama stand up and shout? Amen. They ain't talking about them old timers. I've seen it in here. I've seen them shout amen to the bows come out of their hair. Amen. And we got in there, man, preached to those kids, and me and Brother Terrence Calvin, we was up in a little room we stayed in. We was renting a YMCA camp. And these four Filipino kids come up and knock on our door. I answered the door and they said, can we talk to you, Pastor? I said, sure. And they said, how do we live for God? That's a pretty good question, ain't it? I thought, hey, I better answer this one right. Amen. I mean, what would you say? And I looked at him, I said, well, I'm going to tell y'all first and foremost, I said, it's much easier to live a Christian life after you're saved. Amen. Sitting right here, I don't know. I ain't going to try to talk you out of your salvation, but I will try to talk you out of going to hell. And they listened to me, and I go, okay. And that night, I'm telling you, those four kids, all of them four, walked the aisle and got saved. Raised in a Baptist church. Raised in a repeat after me. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord moved in one night, and there was one of them Filipino boys got up and started singing. And you know that song, A Sinner Like Me? I don't know even how it goes. I would butcher it if I tried to sing it right now. But he sang that song, Kristen. I bet you he sang it 30 times. And say, what happened? From about 8 o'clock till midnight, we led 60 kids to the Lord. Huh? I was wore out. I was laying on the floor going, you know you're a sinner? Do you know? I was wore out. We just didn't lead them in a prayer. We was taking our Bibles and praying with them. I'm going to tell you, I've never seen it on that fashion. Amen. Now listen, the will of God and being in God's will, you got to do it. Get involved. Go somewhere. Do something. Amen. He's a doer. He's a doer. Do it. Do it. Brother Earl Hughes said this. Brother Earl, he was our Christian philosopher. Huh? He said, worry. Worry. People worry. He said, worry is like rocking in a rocking chair. He said, gives you something to do, but you don't never go nowhere. I'm like, wait a minute, let me write that down. Amen. He's something else. He's preaching one night, and I wrote down a bunch of his little quotes. He said, brethren, it's hard for the Lord, my Lord. It's hard for him to agree with me when I'm out of his will. That's a statement right there, buddy. It's hard for the Lord to do anything in your life if you're not going to even be in his will. Amen. You know what the statement that Dr. Ruppman used to tell us all the time, and I didn't really get a hold of that while I was in Bible school, but I do now. He used to say, blessed is the man that finds the will of God in his life and has guts enough to do it. Oh, yeah, man. Amen. I know a lot of people. There's people sitting right here. Probably you know what the will of God in your life is, but having the guts enough to do it, that's different.
Yes.
Amen. And I know this, if ever we need a revival in America, it's now.
Amen.
Fighting and fussing, and he runs with that crowd. Puke on that.
Amen.
Well, who do you, what class do you run with? What group do you run with? I said, a bunch of guys that were drug addicts and dope heads and drunks, and they got saved. God called them to preach. That's our crowd. Amen. It's not where did you go to Bible school. Amen. How many degrees do you have? Puke. Amen. I'll tell you the defining thing in anybody's life right now, are you in God's will? I heard a preacher say this, and I adopted it as my own. He said this, and he was in earnest. He had tears in his eyes. He said, Brother Edward, he said, I really do want to be what God intended for me to be. Wow. Do you know sitting here that God's got an intent for your life and a will for your life? And you know what would thrill him is you to do it. Amen. Be what God wants you to be. So I ain't called to preach. Well, thank God. Amen. Amen. Do something, though. I know you're called to be a witness. Amen. And I don't know if you've never led a soul to Christ. There ain't nothing like it.
Amen.
Never brought anybody to church. And I don't know how many people, the revivals I've been here, I don't know how many people we've seen walk the aisle and get saved in these revivals. A bunch. Amen. We've seen young people surrender their life, give their life to God right here. Amen. And let me say this, last of all, the benefits for doing the will of God are eternal. They're out of this world. Ain't nothing like it. I went to H&R Block. Me and Dee get our taxes done at H&R Block. I'll go there because I don't want to get audited. If it don't help, don't tell me. Amen. But we go there and we pay to do it. And the lady that does our taxes, she's a saved lady. And she looked at me one day and she goes, Brother Mark, you're sure not getting rich in evangelism, are you? I said, thank you, sister. I said, do you want to pour salt in my eye or something now, too? Or... She started laughing. I said, no. I said, I ain't getting rich. I said, but the benefits are out of this world. Amen. See a little kid. You remember that little dark-haired boy that sat on the front row last week there in Folkestone? He come to me. Last night we had a service. I mean, the barn doors flew open. We had a barn burner. We were shouting, running the aisle. This something. And that little fellow walked over to me. I had to sit down because the shouting went on for almost 2 hours. And he walked over to me with tears in his eyes, and he hugged me, and he said, Brother Mark, he said, don't ever stop preaching hard. I asked him the other day, I said, how old are you, son? He said, I'm 7. Amen. said, well, Brother Mark, you preach too hard. Them seven-year-olds like it. I'm on their side. Somebody asked me one day, said, why do kids like you? I said, I don't know. Probably because I like them. Amen. You know why kids are afraid of you? Puppies don't even like you. I know this. If I've ever been around church and know anything about any of this, I can pick out those that are out of God's will. I can usually, Brother Gary, I can usually pick out that one, and I know you've seen it. You preach for years. You can pick out that one that God put his hand on and called him to do something, but he didn't have guts enough to do it. So he sits there now and just dissects you and picks you apart while you're preaching. Amen. And if you can't find any fault with my preaching, you're probably mentally deficient. God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Amen. Well, I don't know about Brother McGee. He just, yeah, you're right. Hallelujah. Amen. Yep. Right. Right. Right as rain. I'll tell you what, though, at the end of the day, I would rather be an idiot in God's will than to be a mastermind out of it. Amen. The benefits are eternal. Folks, if you ain't realized this yet or not, but God uses the bottom of the barrel. Amen. You take the people that God uses, it amazes me. Amen. Brother Darnell, why in the world, how do you create a Darnell? Huh? How did God saved him out of the dunghill. Amen. And here he is sitting here having a time. And some of you raised in church, some of you kids raised in church, you never know what, you don't even know what drugs smell like. You only know what booze smells like, and you're sitting here like a hardened criminal on death row. What is this? That's a strange design. Amen. I'm not going to say it offends me, but it makes me mad sometimes that you all don't shout. What happened? How did you dry up on the vine? God uses cracked pots. Amen. I'll close with this. A preacher told us, we was at camp, and he said, man, I got a story for you. He said, I seen it on the Antiques Roadshow. He said, y'all can use this. Buddy, I have. It's mine now. And y'all ever seen that show where they'll have something sitting there and this, you know, Melvin Peabody type guy comes around and, hey, what do you got there? This lady one day, she had on her table, she had a vase. Well, it wasn't a vase anymore. It was a vase. Because it had been in her family for years and she wanted to know what it was worth. And that guy walked by and he says, oh, that's a beautiful piece there, ma'am. He says, do you mind if I touch it? She's like, no, go ahead. And he picks it up and he's looking at it. And, why mine? He looks over in the bottom. He goes, oh. She goes, what? He says, well, I can tell who the artist was, the potter. Said, he's a well-known. He signed it here on the bottom. And she's like, well, I didn't even know there was a signature there. And she said, well, what does it cost? He said, ma'am, he said, the cost of this is probably $5,000. She was hoping maybe $300 or $400. She's like, really? And he takes his glasses down and looks and he goes, oh, I'm sorry. See, that's the story of my life. No. Made in Rhodesia. But he looks at it and he goes, no. He said, I'm sorry, ma'am. He said, this has been cracked. And she said, really? He said, oh, yeah. He said, it's been repaired, but it's been cracked. And he's looking at it and he said, it's a shame. What a beauty. Then he goes like this. He goes, she's like, what? And she said, he said, oh, it's not $5,000. It's $25,000. And she's like, what? It cracked? She says, yeah. He said, if you look real close, and he showed her, he said, see this little mark here? He said, that's the potter's mark. And he's the one that repaired it. And he signed his name to it. Huh? What? I tell you, you're looking at a cracked pot. Huh? But I'm telling you, the God of all comfort, the God of all grace, The one they've been singing about here tonight has come and done surgery. Amen. The potter, hey, he's the potter, I'm the clay. And what God will do, God will take you up. He'll use you. He'll put you in His will. Amen. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This dot, Brother Donnie, you, amen. I don't know. You're probably going to outlive all of us. You'll be sitting here one day saying, I remember Brother Mark, Brother Edward, when they were here preaching. Amen. I mean, she's 160 now. I don't know how much longer she's going to live. Amen. But listen, Miss Dot, you'll live on because you stayed right here in the stuff. Amen. Came down here this morning, prayed, cried. Amen. Prays for you all. Loves the church. Stayed in. Her husband. How old was Brother Donnie when he died? 58 years old. And he died at a young age. That's young now. Amen. 65 is young now to me. Amen. Some of y'all, 70's young to some of y'all sitting here. But he's gone to be with the Lord, but he'll never be forgotten. You say, why? Because he did the will of God. Amen. Sitting here, amen, the same way, brother, if the Lord tarries is coming, that we've grieved and you grieved over your daddy, your kids one day will grieve over you. But it'll be a whole lot easier if you die in God's will. Now, which way you want to go out of this old world? Go out miserable, saying, he ain't been by. Huh? Or them, I remember I preached my dad's funeral, my brothers, they were sitting on the front there. They said, how in the world did you keep from crying and all that, preaching dad's funeral? I said, I wasn't allowed to. Dad told me before he died that, don't cry, boy. Amen. But I did afterwards. And the other day, I was sitting there and thinking about him. I cried sitting at my desk thinking about my dad. He'd been gone now about 13 years. Amen. But Dad, it would have been a whole lot easier to think about him now after he got back in church. Amen. I got my dad's Bible notes through there. Man, I'll tell you what a cherished, amen, gift that I have. Amen. How's people going to remember you? Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes closed.